Get real advice about anything from two women who've experienced a lot of life. They want to share their joy and knowledge of life with you. These two women are young enough to remember and old enough to know.
And now the Chat with Women Network presents All About Divorce with Amanda Dubois and Monica Carey.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a mess.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey, and I'm here with my business partner, Amanda Dubois. We're family law attorneys in Seattle and Kent. We have a great office over in Fremont, and our website is DuboisLaw.net. We provide compassionate legal representation to individuals and families during major life transitions, such as divorce, custody, paternity issues, as well as estate planning.
So we cover the two D's, divorce and death.
We do. We do.
How happy are we?
We are. But we are pretty happy. It's good.
So we're going to talk about sort of win-win divorce this morning. We're going to talk about mediation, ways of settling your divorce in a respectful, cooperative, sometimes amicable way when it doesn't have to turn into a big, giant fight.
This is one of my most favorite topics. I love mediation.
Well, it's important because, you know, you can still be. And the one thing to remember about mediation and settling your divorce in an amicable fashion is that doesn't mean that you have to hold hands and sing kumbaya through the whole process.
Absolutely not. It's totally true. Excuse me. I think that you know, a lot of couples who think they would never, ever, ever be able to settle their case outside of court still somehow find a way. It's not for every single case.
Well, it's not, but the good news is that it's actually required in the state of Washington.
That's right.
So let's start off by talking about some of the legal requirements and how mediation, and we call it alternative dispute resolution, because there's several different ways of settling your case outside of court, and we'll talk about several of them this morning. Let's start off talking about sort of the legal part of it. Like, there's statutes and local rules and all kinds of things, which Monica cleverly copied.
So in King County, there are two local rules in general. I mean, I think one of the biggest, the hardest things to remember when you're going through divorce is that it's actually litigation. You know, you've filed a lawsuit against
And you're
someone.
Litigating something in real time.
That is true.
Which is so weird because most legal cases, most lawyers, like someone built a tree or, you know, the tree fell on our property last February and now we're having a lawsuit about it. And it's all done and it's already happened. And the facts are already what they are, and now we're in the legal system. But in a divorce or a child custody case, your case is actually unfolding while you're in litigation. So the lawyers who are doing it, it's a much different, it's more like working in an emergency room. It's like a legal emergency room.
Yes. So in any kind of litigation, you are required to go through alternative dispute resolution just because, you know, if you can settle your case outside of court, that's going to make the judges happy.
Yeah, judges really don't want us in there.
No,
they don't. Much as they love us.
Exactly, yeah. And in family law cases, there's a local rule that requires that you go to mediation to try to settle your case unless there's an issue with domestic violence. There are ways to waive that rule. You have to get court permission. But in most cases are ripe for at least attempting mediation. And in King County, Family Court Services offers a really wonderful service. They actually meet with parties together and will help them try to settle their parenting plan. It's not always successful. And the other issue is that in a divorce, of course, there are other issues to take care of.
So, but that's a good option. Is that sort of on a sliding scale or low
income? I do think it's a lower cost option.
Right.
There's a point at which if your case is not settled, if the parenting plan is still contested, they'll call you or they'll send you a notice to try to get you in.
So what does the local rule say?
So local family law rule 16.
And that's only for King County. So if you're listening outside of King County, there are different local rules for your jurisdiction.
Right. That's true. And so this local rule for divorce, if for any family law case, which is divorce, custody, parenting plan, paternity, not necessarily child support modifications, but they require that you attend mediation. I think it's at least 28 days before trial.
And then is there also a state statute that talks about the mediation requirement?
Yeah. So the state statute is RCW 2609-175. And, you know, the local rule in King County, again, the different counties have different rules about mediation, but the local rule in King County actually requires that you attend mediation in good faith and that you provide proposed final orders and a financial declaration, which is basically your budget.
Right.
And then also that so the proposed orders would include your parenting plan and your decree. And so you have to provide the mediator with a description of your property and whether you think it's community or separate property and what the kind of gross and net value of the property are. The statute's actually very, very clear in terms of what you're meant to provide.
And the reason that you have to provide that is because if you don't come in prepared, it's hard to mediate in good faith.
That's right.
And the court really, I mean, the courts, judges, I think every judge in King County, or probably in the state or maybe in the country, would say that it's always better for a family to sit down and try to solve their own problem than it is to bring your problem into a court and present it to a judge who's only going to, you know you for 2 or 3 days and make lifelong decisions for your children and your family.
That's true. And, you know, in my experience, I recently started pro temming in King County, and
people
which
might
means
not know what that means.
Right, which means that I'm kind of a substitute if a commissioner, if a judicial officer, like a commissioner in the family law motions calendar in King County, is unavailable, then they call on certain attorneys that have been confirmed to get on the bench. And I have found myself saying, if you two people here find yourself in court trying to sort this out, then we have, I mean, there's kind of a problem. If it means that it's an indication of a level of conflict between the parties that takes your case to another level and is just has a really poor impact on your kids.
And it makes it really hard to repair your family after the process is over.
That's probably true. I mean, you go to trial. I mean, you've had so many trials, I think, where with parents going up against each other. And, you know, when you see those parents a couple years later versus the parents who, you know, mediated and settled their cases.
Exactly.
How different is the experience for them?
It's very difficult because when you're in a trial situation, and people that go to trial usually have genuine issues. So there's a genuine issue about, was this business my separate property before we got married? Or what is the value of this business? Or should I get, you know, alimony or maintenance? Or is there a danger to a child? I mean, most cases where it's just a typical family with a couple of kids in a house and a RV or something, those people don't usually end up in trial because the mediators are so good and because there's so much encouragement to settle your own case. But once you get into a trial situation, you're exactly right. You have to be somewhat adversarial to promote your client's side of the story. And once you've done that, then after the trial is over, it's really hard for those people to move forward and co-parent together because you've had to fight. And it's a bad part of our system. I don't think.
And it's expensive.
It's
expensive,
I mean, it's mean, and it doesn't always work. I mean, I can get it for financial things, you know, if there's a bona fide financial issue. But when you're in there fighting over children, which I do very much less often. I mostly take trials that have financial issues. But when you're in there fighting over children, it's very difficult for people to move forward and co-parent.
Right.
And so mediation is a fantastic, really important option.
It is
people.
A really great tool. And I think it works. And part of the other reason I think it works is that you need to go to mediation in good faith, but it's really a voluntary process. You have a lot more control over what happens and you can walk away at any time.
So let's talk about, while we're talking about the legal parts, because I think we should, after the break, we should start talking really what is mediation and how does it work. But there's one other statute that's really important that talks about the confidentiality of what happens in mediation.
Yes, your mediator and all the negotiations that happen in mediation cannot be admissible in court.
They can't even be talked about.
Can't even talk about any offer that's made, any solution that's proposed.
And the reason for that is so, let's say you're in mediation and you offer something, you know, you offer, I'll share 50-50 custody in mediation, and then you're unable to settle your case. Well, if you end up in trial and you really don't want 50-50 custody, it's not fair for the other side to be able to come in and say, well, you offered 50-50 in mediation, so you've backtracked.
Right.
And what they're trying to do in mediation is to have people really sort of open up and really exercise good faith and really come up with some creative options, that if they're not able to settle the case, then according to the statute, they want you to be able to feel comfortable doing that, not thinking while you're in the mediation process, well, I don't want to say this because I don't want them going to a judge and saying,
well, she offered.
I offered
more.
This.
He offered more.
Exactly. Right. So, and likewise, the mediator cannot be called to testify for that same reason. So while you're in the negotiations and mediation, it's important to be able to share fully with the mediator your position. And the other cool thing about mediators is that if you you usually are in separate rooms, and if you tell something to the mediator in your room, you can tell them not to tell the other side. So they've got the same confidentiality that a lawyer does, but it's a different kind of confidentiality because they'll say, if you share something with me and you don't want me to tell the people in the other room, I'll keep it. I won't tell them. So it makes for more like you can brainstorm more. With
right.
Them.
Yes.
And then they can help you think through different options and ideas. And then if you say, well, maybe I do that, but I really don't want to tell them that I would do that, then the mediator can go into the other room and not sort of spill the beans with what you were thinking about.
Right. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break. Thanks for tuning in to AM 1150. This is All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey with Amanda Dubois. We're from the Dubois Carey Law Group, and our website is DuboisLaw.net.
You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'.
Hey, are you looking for a great getaway? Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores, Washington has a great one. Head out to the beach and get two nights, only $129, any Sunday through Thursday. That's two nights, only $129. While you're here, enjoy our Northwest fine dining at Emily's Oceanfront Restaurant. Get pampered in our relaxing spa and win big in the casino. Quinault's got the hottest new games, great promotions, and our Q Club has great benefits like free rooms, free play, dinner offers, and lots more. Best of all, we are on the beach. Come take advantage of our great winter room rates and see for yourself. Two nights, Sunday through Thursday, just $129. Your good time's a sure bet. It's Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in beautiful Ocean Shores, Washington. Call 888-461-2214 or log on to QuinaultBeachResort.com. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Winners happen here.
Limited number of rooms available at this rate. Some restrictions and blackout dates apply. $20 more for Ocean View.
I had a dream of owning my own business, but I didn't know what I wanted to do until I discovered home staging. 5 years later, I am now the proud owner of one of Seattle's most successful staging companies. If you have a dream of starting your own new, lucrative, and fun career in home staging, I can help you. This year, I'll be offering an opportunity for up to 16 students to become Advanced Home Stager Certified. For class dates and information, go to stagingforcharisma.com or email me at pam@stagingforcharisma.com.
Can you believe it? It's 2014. New year, new you. Visit Ra Salon Spa, located downtown Redmond, as our stylists give you the perfect new look. Want to add some highlights? What about darkening your color? Or how about that pixie cut we've been seeing on the red carpet? Let us help you start your new year off right. Call 425-284-0404 and get 15% off your next salon service.
So do you want to be known as the expert in your field? Well, you can by hosting your own radio show. Join the Chat with Women Network and host your very own talk radio show. Share your knowledge on air and become the celebrity in your industry. You know, if you've always wanted to be a star, then here's your chance. To find out more, call Pam at 425-922-1155. That's 425-922-1155.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural, alternative talk, 1150 AM.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but
thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey, and I'm here with Amanda Dubois, my business partner. We are attorneys in Seattle and Kent. We are with the Dubois Carey Law Group, and our website is DuboisLaw.net. And we're talking today about my favorite topic, mediation. And I was just talking to Amanda about why I love mediation so much during the break. And I don't know. You know, I think it's a really neat alternative to going to court because it offers people the opportunity to be creative in how they want to resolve their case.
And you're talking about when you say you love mediation, you love being a mediator.
I do. Yes. It's really, I think it's really exciting when to help people move through an impasse, especially because in family law, I think it's so cool because the parties are going to have an ongoing relationship most of the time. Exactly. I mean, if it's a strictly financial case, you know, it's a different story. But with a parenting case, they're going to have an ongoing relationship, even if their kids are 15 and or 18. You know, they're going to have
because
to go
guess
to
what?
Weddings.
They never really do grow up.
Don't say that to me. Yeah, so I think it's a really, really important part of family law because they're going to have an ongoing relationship. And then the other reason is that parties might have a shared value that the court would not value. You know, they might have a shared value that private school education is really important for their child. Or they might have a shared value about religious beliefs. Or they might have, you know, a shared value about where they're going to live. And the court may not enforce those things, but they can come up with a solution together and plan their settlement maybe around that priority. So I really do enjoy getting people together to talk about what their kind of high-end goals are and what their fears are from the process and kind of circling back to those goals to help them reach a settlement. In my opinion, you know, in any litigation, right, it's sort of about what you anticipate you can get in court and how much it'll cost you to try to get that in court.
Which is a lot.
And then really the biggest one, how do you feel about the outcome? You know, those are sort of the three critical components to any litigation, in my opinion. And in family law, it's completely different than, you know, maybe a criminal case or something like that.
So let's talk about, if someone were going to come to you for mediation,
mm-hmm.
How does it start? So let's say I'm a couple or I'm part of a couple and I call you up and I say, you know, I'm going to get a divorce, but I really don't want to go into the court system. I don't want to pay that much money and I don't want to end up hating my spouse.
Right.
So do I come and see you and have a conversation about that and then call my spouse and say, let's go talk to her?
It's a really good question. Since I'm the mediator, I'm neutral. So I don't have any kind of independent unilateral contact with one party and not the other unless they both agree that that's an okay part of the process.
Okay.
So in the initial contact, my preference is to have, if one person contacts me, we always have the other person looped in to the conversation. And I generally give people a little, you know, a little introduction about myself and what to expect from the process. And a couple of documents that I might have you fill out prior to coming in or not. It really depends on what works for that particular couple.
So we come in for the first appointment together?
Yes.
And we're in the same room?
You can be. So there are different kinds of mediation. There's one kind is called facilitative mediation, and that's where the mediator doesn't really present her own opinion so much. The mediator just sort of tries to bring out each side's preferences and goals and stuff like that and have the two people communicate directly more with each other. And the mediator's just there to facilitate the conversation.
Okay.
And then there's evaluative mediation where the mediator expresses her own independent opinion of what would happen if your case goes before a judge.
Which is a good thing to know if you're in the legal process.
It is.
In a divorce.
So I would say that my style is kind of a blend of both of those kinds of mediation, because I do present parties with my evaluation of what I believe would happen in court based on my experience, and then also because I have the benefit of working in a firm with several other really great lawyers, so all of whom go to trial, and so I, you know, we all talk about the outcomes of our cases, and that helps me in terms of evaluating in a mediated setting.
So, and as a short aside, I think it's really important to choose a mediator who actually has been in court recently.
I agree.
And who has access to other lawyers who've been in court, because there's a lot of mediators who are fabulous, and I'm not saying they're not great, but, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, I think this was what a judge is going to do, and I'll think, well, I was in court last week with a very similar case, and that's not at all what the judge did. So
that's true.
It's nice to be able to, and not every judge is going to do the same thing. Lord knows you could take the same case to seven different judges and get seven different, completely different opinions.
Right.
But I think it's important to sort of have sort of have your foot in the water of what's going on in the court system if you're going to be a good mediator.
I agree. And we're really, I feel really lucky to have such an amazing support group of lawyers, you know, Lucia Levias and Michelle Fontenot and Denise Hansen and Joanna Hawes, recently married. So that's really beneficial, I think, in our office. So you had asked whether the parties would be in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And in a mediation, sometimes they are. So we call those joint sessions.
Okay.
And sometimes they're not, and we call those caucuses. So in there, sometimes we mediate with lawyers. So there are times when I have a lawyer and the lawyer's client in the party downstairs in one conference room, and then I have the other party with her lawyer in, you know, another conference room. And there are benefits to both types of sessions. So joint sessions where you're both in the same room, the nice thing about it is that it can keep the parties more respectful. You know, and but the bad part about it is if there's a power issue and somebody doesn't feel very comfortable being honest. And then the other issue is if it deteriorates because someone's not respectful, and then that can kind of hinder speaking freely.
So you almost have to be a little bit of not a marriage therapist, because they're not there for marriage, but almost like a counselor or something.
You do have to pay attention to, you know, the vibe, I guess. So that's. The joint sessions have a really good value, and I think it's good to at least end a mediation with a joint session. It's nice to have people in the same room where they've both agreed to a settlement, so they can kind of, especially if they have children, so that they can have that
sometimes
moment.
Sometimes they don't agree at the, this might not be a one-time meeting, right?
That's true. And most of my mediations, I think trying to do it all in one day is way too much. And most people don't have time to come to a mediate, you know, to come sit down for that many hours.
And sometimes I want to leave and think about things or do a little bit of homework, too.
That's right. Yeah. I want the agreement to be durable. I want them to be able to really make an informed, decision. And so I do like to give them space. I generally do mediations in a couple of different sessions. Sometimes the first one will be in person, and then we might have a few shorter sessions by phone because most people are so busy. And then, you know, the final session is in person too, where they come in. So
what would somebody need to bring with them to the first session?
You know, my feeling is just come, just show up. It can be a lot of pressure, and sometimes one party is driving it more than the other. So just show up, talk to me, meet me, see if you like me, if you feel comfortable with it. And if you're ready to take on more, then you can bring in your income tax returns, pay stubs, stuff like that. I send out a list by email to people coming in and tell them bring in what you want or don't. If the more you bring in, the faster the process will be, probably more efficient.
Ultimately,
but you don't have
to. You need
to
know, like, what do they have?
Yes, I need to. Ultimately, I will need to know what all of their assets and liabilities are, and how much money they each make, and a budget for, especially if somebody is requesting alimony or spousal maintenance, I'll want to have a budget from them, which is the financial declaration. But, we'll talk about that in the session.
So it's an iterative process. So they come in, you talk about stuff, then come back and bring more financial information. So it sounds to me like you're educating them as the process unfolds.
That's true. Yeah, I do. And I always encourage them to talk to separate counsel. They don't have to tell me if they are, but I don't represent either one of them, but they do have the benefit of hearing, okay, here's what I say the law is on a particular issue. They hear that information at the exact same time. They process it at the same time, and then they can go take it to separate counsel if they want.
So you don't give legal advice as a mediator?
I don't.
So that's something you probably have to tell them at the beginning.
Yes, right. That's really clear at the beginning.
So if somebody's coming in for a mediation session, you're going to say, here's what the law is, and you're going to kind of explain that. But if they want to go talk to someone about, well, how could I use that more to my favor, or
absolutely,
what are the chances,
right,
that X, Y, or Z would happen if I took this into,
yes,
the legal system, that's not you.
That's not me. I can express my opinion.
It's not you personally. It's
not me, and it's not anyone at our firm.
Well, it shouldn't be a mediator.
But it's not. Yes, it's not a mediator.
Okay.
A mediator can express their opinion about what they think might happen. They can evaluate your case and give you an opinion about it, but the mediator will be clear that they don't represent you. So if you want, you can go get legal advice from someone else.
Well, let's take a break and come back and talk a little bit more about the actual process, like what happens in one of the sessions once you sit down with the couple and what might happen in the successive sessions specifically, and then what kind of paperwork and what happens at the end? Like, so what, you're done, and then what?
Okay.
Perfect. Good.
Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. This is AM 1150. I'm Monica Carey with Amanda Dubois. Our website is DuboisLaw.net.
Your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over.
Take a test drive. Win a Fiat at Fiat of Seattle at South Center.
You heard right. Go see our friends at Fiat of Seattle at South Center. Take a test drive, and you'll be automatically entered to win an exciting new 2013 Fiat Pop.
While you're there, check out their huge selection of the new 2014 Fiat four-door models.
Take a test drive. Win a Fiat at Fiat of Seattle at South Center.
Someone's going to win it. Why not you?
No purchase necessary. For more details, log on to
Fiat of Seattle at SouthCenter.com.
O'Brien.
So do you want to be known as the expert in your field? Well, you can by hosting your own radio show. Join the Chat with Women Network and host your very own talk radio show. Share your knowledge on air and become the celebrity in your industry. You know, if you've always wanted to be a star, then here's your chance. To find out more, call Pam at 425-922-1155. That's 425-922-1155.
Wake up every day looking and feeling more beautiful with the help of Wink Lash Extensions. Located in downtown Bellevue and specializing in eyelash extensions, body bronzing, facial peels, manicures, pedicures, and waxing. Wink gives you an innovative beauty experience that combines services to leave you looking refreshed without being rushed. Visit our website at winklashextensions.com or contact us at 425-502-8100.
For the new year and the month of January, 15% off any baby foot peel service. Get baby soft feet with a baby foot peel. Only at Wink Lash Extensions.
Does your mind ever seem to have a mind of its own? If you'd like to discover ways to gain control and win the struggle with issues like weight loss, bad habits, getting a good night's sleep, or even overcoming difficult situations, find out why your mind works the way it does and how you can make it work best for you from a hypnotist who knows. Join Kristen on Mind Talk every second Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m. live on KKNW 1150 a.m. Miss the show? Well, listen to Mind Talk every time on chatwithwomen.com. Visit mymindtalk.com for more information.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love.
Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. We're family law lawyers who practice out of our peaceful waterfront office over in Fremont. Our website is DuboisLaw.net, and you can look at some pretty pictures of where we're located over there.
We do. We have beautiful pictures.
We have
on
really
our
pretty
now.
Pictures, yeah. We also have some on our Facebook page and all that good stuff. So anyways, we're talking today about mediation.
And right before the break, we were talking about the fact that Monica does a lot of mediation in our office, and she does it both for people that come in without lawyers, and she does it for clients who actually have lawyers. But let's talk first about people that don't have lawyers.
Okay.
And we were talking a little bit about what they bring in with them. And I would like to know, I think it'd be helpful to know, like, what to expect, like, what happens. So you come in there and you sit down with you, and most people don't really even know what all needs to be figured out. They know pretty much that they got to split stuff up, and they know that they have to find a way to co-parent their children. But I assume that you put some structure around that and say, here's what we're going to figure out about money. Here's what we're going to figure out about kids. How does that work?
That's exactly right. Yes. We pretty much start by talking about everybody's goals. And then sort of the big picture. And then drilling down, I will want to see all of your assets and debts, and we will analyze those together. And then we will talk about child support. We'll talk about whether either party needs any kind of spousal maintenance or alimony. And then we'll talk about the parenting plan and what particular provisions make sense for your family.
So before we were starting our show this morning, we were talking to Benny about intentions.
rather than resolutions. It seems like it's the newfound term for the new year.
Well, here we are in 2014. And we're talking about intentions, and it was funny because Monica just said, it sounds like you start a mediation by almost setting an intention.
Absolutely, yes. And I hold them to it.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you remind them then.
Yeah, and I hold them to it. Because, you know, everybody getting a divorce. I don't care whether you're, you know, the high income wage earner or the super duper amazing stay at home parent. Everybody's scared. Nobody knows what it's going to look like. And everybody kind of wants to walk away from the process as whole as they can be.
And they don't usually.
And I don't know.
I think people walk away with a little hole in their heart or a hole in their dream.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, I think we forget sometimes, but when people are getting a divorce, it's like, it's really not just they're mad at my spouse or I hate him or her or they did something to me. It's like, I dreamt of this family and this life we were going to have together and it didn't turn out. And so that hole in their heart and that hole in their dream is something I think sometimes we forget about.
Right. It's true.
And I think that's one real good reason to go to mediation, because it's not that it's a therapy session where you can share your feelings, but it really puts you in a little bit more control about how you're going to end this dream of a family and a marriage and growing old together and stuff. And it lets you feel like you're a little bit more in control of how that's all going to unwind.
I think that's really true. And I mean, it really is. You really are in more control.
Absolutely. So, but then people might also come to a mediator with a lawyer.
Yes, and that process is generally a little bit different.
no surprise there. But backing up for just a second, sometimes, what if you're a mediator and you notice that one of the parties, whether it's the husband or the wife or the man, woman, you know, there's a power differential.
Right.
And you see that and you see one person's really kind of getting hammered or they're getting railroaded into something that they might not. You can just sort of see this power dynamic. As the mediator, you're not an advocate.
No, I'm not an advocate for either party. The parties are coming to me to help them make a deal. I mean, they're coming to me to try to settle their case.
And you see this power differential. What
can
you do?
Yeah. So if I see it, I mean, that's a time when I will, you know, probably remind the parties that they should want to consider taking the opportunity to talk to separate counsel. But I can't say, hey, this person is way more financially sophisticated than you. You really need to talk to a lawyer. I mean, I'm probably not going to say that to them. Well, it's just a different role.
I say as the advocate over here.
I know. This is why Amanda's always like, how can you do that? Yeah.
So,
because you are such a good advocate.
Well, right. But I think the moral of the story is if you're a person in a mediation process and you feel like there's a power differential and you feel like maybe you're getting railroaded or you're not,
or you don't
being
understand
heard.
Something. I mean, what my biggest concern is if you really don't totally understand what you're signing. I mean, I really, really encourage my clients to at least spend a few $100 to go have a consult with a lawyer who's your own lawyer who can just tell you what the heck you're signing.
But if you're in the process and you feel like you're not being heard, I think the key thing to remember is don't look to the mediator to bail you out.
Absolutely. That's
right. So if you are in a mediation without a lawyer and you feel like you're not being heard or you're sort of not being able to express yourself or get your needs met, that's a time to, it doesn't mean you're going into litigation. It doesn't mean you're going into a big lawsuit. But it would be a good idea to go have a consult with a lawyer and maybe consider getting into a situation where you're mediating with a lawyer who can speak for you or help you to be heard.
Yes. And that's something that we, you know, our lawyers do all the time. We have clients who come talk who are maybe handling a lot of the case themselves, but they just want to have a little bit of brainstorming with a lawyer and kind of understanding strategy and understanding the law. And again, it's just like you said, it's not anything nefarious. It doesn't mean that they're going to come back and say, we're going to court. It might just mean that they come back with some idea that they wouldn't have otherwise thought about. And, you know, when we talk about being in a joint session, which happens more with parties who don't have lawyers, one of the things we talked about before was that being in a room together might kind of squash your ability to speak freely because you're trying to be respectful or because there was always that issue that you could never talk about during your marriage. And so why would you talk about it now? And then the trouble with that is that the mediator doesn't get to offer as much creativity and create, you know, and coming up with a solution for you, because there may be some underlying issues that don't really ever rise up and come into the
Exactly. It's like people know you've been living with someone for 5 or 10 or 20 years. You know where their hot spots are.
Right.
And what can happen, what I see sometimes is people will be poking at each other and we don't know it because we don't know, like, you know, the
yes.
they're talking about the man cave in the basement or something, and they're talking about who's going to get the TV. And it's like it has so much more meaning to that family because of, you know, that
right.
was the cause of the divorce or something, something, something. And we don't know why that is such a hot spot. But it's interesting in that process to watch that. And then you're kind of thinking, well, maybe there's more to that.
And that's why it is really a good idea to have a lawyer. And that's why a lot of people do, you know, a lot of people do go to mediation with their lawyers. And so in our office, when we do that, generally you're in separate rooms because surprise, surprise, lawyers tend to talk more than. And so it's kind of hard to be heard sometimes. So the lawyer and their client are usually in one room, in one conference room. And then we put the other client, the other party and their lawyer in a different room. And then I run back and forth to try to help them reach a deal, a settlement.
Let's talk about that for a second. You're talking about lawyers who kind of talk over their clients, and I think it would be really useful. So let's say you're a person who isn't really ready to go sit in a room with your soon-to-be ex-spouse for all kinds of reasons. Maybe he or she had an affair, or maybe there's issues. You're just sad because you're getting a divorce,
yeah.
or they just said they didn't love
right.
you anymore or something. And the thought of sitting in a room with them is way more than you can think of.
Right.
So there's so another option is you go and you find a lawyer, and like lawyers in our firm, we do it all the time, who will take you to a mediation and represent you in the mediation, and you don't have to sit in a room with your spouse.
Right.
And when you're looking for a lawyer who's going to represent you in that situation, I think it's really important to really interview the lawyer and make sure that, you know, there's a spectrum of ways that lawyers handle things.
Mm,
and there's, like,
I see,
what you were
yeah.
just talking about, there's some lawyers who, you know, you get into mediation and they don't even let the client speak hardly.
Right.
This is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to go, and this is what a court would do, and this is how I could win, and I'm going to get you this, and you're not going to settle for. So the client loses
right.
a little bit control versus a lawyer who's more of a, almost like a facilitative lawyer, like
right.
talking to the client. Like for me, I go to mediation all the time,
right,
and I want to know what my client wants,
right.
And I back to the Benny's intention setting. I mean, let's talk about that before we go to mediation. Like, what is the most important to you? And sometimes my client will say, you know what, I have to co-parent with this person
yes.
for the next 15 years. And if that means I'm not going to get completely half of his or her retirement, I'm okay with that.
Right.
Because what's my biggest value is co-parenting, and it's only money. And I'm willing to let go of some of these financial things so that I can co-parent. Benny?
It's probably a smart thing, too, to also write some of these down before going into. Because then you might lose track or,
That's
you know,
a great idea.
Strategy
yeah.
on, you know, whatever lawyer is trying to be, let's say, bullish or not.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose sight of what you or the client really wants, right? So, I mean, it would just
yeah.
only help me if I was in the situation to write things down and make sure I stick to them and for the mediator and all parties included.
Absolutely.
You know what I sometimes have people do is bring pictures of their kids.
Aww.
I generally, in my mediations where there are kids involved, I pretty much always make them show me a picture of their child at the beginning.
I do. I want them to have their kids there because their pictures, because sometimes you get in the weeds about something like some financial issue and you want to just remind them, you know what, this is
yeah.
really why you're here. And if you're the person that's got the most money and you're going to give a little bit more money than you thought you wanted to.
Right.
And you know, and what's been really interesting to me lately is I represent a lot of women who are business owners.
Yeah.
And those women, business owners, are also usually the primary parent.
These super women just
I know.
Put me to shame.
So, well, you are one, Monica.
No, my husband is really awesome.
So, but you get these women that come in and they're the primary parent and they're the primary breadwinner. And in most mediations or divorce settlements, the person who's the primary parent is going to give up some of their time with their children.
Yes.
And the person who's the money person is going to give up some of their money.
Right. So if it's all falling
if you're
on
the all
same
the
person.
Same person, then I like sit with these women. I'm like, I am so sorry. You're going to give up your money and you're going to give up your kids.
Right.
And the other person is over there, you know, who maybe hasn't been working as much and
right.
might not be parenting the child quite so much. And there's a whole grieving process that goes along with that. And there's really nothing we can do about it, because at the end of the day, our legal system says we're going to split our assets fair and equitable, but usually it comes out kind of close to 50-50.
Right.
And we're going to try to do co-parenting, and that's not always 50-50, but it's certainly not always every other weekend like it used to be.
Right. That's right.
And part of the mediation process, or getting ready for the mediation process, is just getting people to understand. When we talk about intentions, my intention might be I want to continue to be the primary parent, and I also don't want to give up any of my money or any of my business.
Right.
And that might be your intention, but that's not a realistic intent. It's not going to happen.
But what you are going to get is you're creating the circle of security for your child. So I think, to me, that's how I would look at it. It's the relationships that you're building for your child.
So part of it is, before going to mediation, we have to do a lot of reframing.
Yes.
Because and there's a lot of grieving that goes along with that, because I've worked so hard to build this business, and I put my whole life into it, and I've been doing it ever since I, was a young post-college, right after I finished my MBA program. And, I've stayed home with the children. I come home early to take care of the kids. And there's a certain amount of just letting go and educating.
And so you want to have a lawyer who can simultaneously help you let go, but also fight for what you want in your mediation.
And it's not helpful for that lawyer to say, I'm going to get you full custody.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure you don't have to give him any money, because that's not realistic.
That's not realistic, and that's not creating the circle of security that you want to create
for
your
child.
Thank you
for the gentle reminder, Monica.
I think we're going to go ahead and take another break. You're tuning in to AM 1150. This is the All About Divorce show. I'm Monica Carey with Amanda Dubois, and our website is DuboisLaw.net.
Something you call love, but confess. You've been a-messin' where you shouldn't have been a-messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best.
Have you heard about Aveda's hot off the press product called Dry Remedy Moisturizing Oil? Well, have we got news for you? It's an amazing new oil with a lavender and ginger lily aroma. Just a few drops will boost your hair's moisture by 41%, leaving it soft and shiny. Reserve yours at Ross Salon Spa or call 425-284-0404.
For ideas to create a more nourishing and welcoming space in your home, advice on what to do to help sell or rent your house, or help designing the right look for your new home, join Pam Christensen on the first and third Wednesday of the month from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Chat with Women Network. Find Pam at stagingforcharisma.com. That's stagingforcharisma.com, or call 206-650-3620. That's 206-650-3620.
Hey, are you looking for a great getaway? Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores, Washington has a great one. Head out to the beach and get two nights, only $129, any Sunday through Thursday. That's two nights, only $129. While you're here, enjoy our Northwest fine dining at Emily's Oceanfront Restaurant. Get pampered in our relaxing spa and win big in the casino. Quinault's got the hottest new games, great promotions, and our Q Club has great benefits like free rooms, free play, dinner offers, and lots more. Best of all, we are on the beach. Come take advantage of our great winter room rates and see for yourself. Two nights, Sunday through Thursday, just $129. Your good time's a sure bet. It's Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in beautiful Ocean Shores, Washington. Call 888-461-2214 or log on to QuinaultBeachResort.com. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Winners happen here.
Limited number of rooms available at this rate. Some restrictions and blackout dates apply. $20 more for Ocean View.
So do you want to be known as the expert in your field? Well, you can by hosting your own radio show. Join the Chat with Women Network and host your very own talk radio show. Share your knowledge on air and become the celebrity in your industry. You know, if you've always wanted to be a star, then here's your chance. To find out more, call Pam at 425-922-1155. That's 425-922-1155.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a man.
messing where you shouldn't.
Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. Our website is DuboisLaw.net. We're family law attorneys, and today we're talking about mediation. And I was talking about my mediation practice where I am the mediator and help people settle their case. And during that conversation, Amanda asked me a really difficult question, which is, what do I do when I think that one party may be getting kind of shafted? And the answer is, I can't do very much because I'm not an advocate. So during the break, we were talking about how you can avoid that happening to you. And the best way is to hire a lawyer to help you with mediation, which we at our office, we do all the time as well.
So I think some people think if I hire a lawyer, I'm off onto the whole track of going to trial and being in a mean-spirited, heavily litigated depositions and subpoenas and all kinds of crazy things are going to happen.
Yes, and that does happen sometimes, but it kind of depends on the lawyer.
Well, and it
kind
of depends on the person. It depends on the issues.
Yeah, you're right.
So if there's a situation where someone is hiding assets or where someone's not being forthcoming with their assets, or, you know, you think someone might have a bank account they haven't told you about, or there's a business issue. Sometimes there's all kinds of complicated issues around business ownership. Then it is appropriate to get a lawyer who's going to litigate your case.
Right.
But one option, which is the most common option, is there's sort of a blend. Like, you come into a lawyer and you say, this is my situation. And the lawyers should always say that your first choice should be to try to settle this in some, not, when we say amicable, it doesn't mean that you have to like each other, but in a way that's outside of the legal system, so you have more control over how the case settles. But that happens all the time for people that are contesting things. So you can be contesting all kinds of issues in your case, like who's the best parent and what should be the parenting plan and how the assets should be split and whether there should be alimony. You can still contest all those things and go to mediation.
Well, so how do you think people should look for a lawyer and choose a lawyer?
Well, I think that you want a lawyer who values mediation as their top value, because it's always better, like we said at the beginning, if you can participate in the decisions for your own family. Like, you know what your child really needs.
Right.
You know what your values are. You know, like some people, like you said at the beginning, maybe private school is a value. Well, some people will make all kinds of financial sacrifices in their mediation so that they can. I mean, I've had people that make very little money who have agreed to, you know, come up with some crazy financial plan where they're living on next to nothing so that they can pay for their child to go to an expensive private school. And I'm looking at them thinking, wow, you know, public schools are okay.
Right.
And you guys are both having no retirement. You're not saving for the future because your value is to put your child in a private school.
So you don't necessarily badger them into changing their, trying to badger them into
changing. No, but that's why it's so important to know their intention or their values, like you said at the beginning. Once I know that, then I can advocate for those values. But at the same time, so many times, you know, it's just, it's so sad because people are, whatever's happened to bring them to the divorce process is so emotionally flooding that it's not always easy to go into a situation without a lawyer and have to deal with the person who just told you they don't love you anymore, or who got a girlfriend or boyfriend, or who is moving on, or, you know, all the things that happen. And that, so much emotion. So having a lawyer there to advocate for your, because it's a time, a divorce is a time where you're probably more emotional than you've ever been in your life. And you've got to make business decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life and your financial security and your children.
Yes.
And sometimes that's just too much for someone to do without some support.
You know, you just reminded me of, I can't tell you the number of clients that I've had, and I'm sure you have too, when you get ready for mediation, and when you're getting ready, the client says to you, you know, he's really charming. He's
attractive.
Or she's a supermodel. Or she's, you know, they're just larger than life.
Yes.
And so it's really, and that's, you know, makes sense. You were married to the person for however long. And
then we meet him, and it's like, really?
I know. We're like, do you realize that you are 10 times hotter than that other person or something, you know? But it's helpful. The point is, it's helpful to have an advocate who's fresh and who doesn't know this person and who can help you get some perspective when you're making these really critical decisions. And the mediator isn't necessarily going to be looking out for you or doing those things.
No, that's not their role. So
it's not. So how do you prepare for mediation?
Well, it's sort of the same thing that you were talking about. The most important thing is that everything has to be fully disclosed from a financial perspective. So if that means, you know, it's not like someone comes into the office and they're ready to go to mediation in 2 weeks. Sometimes it takes a month or two to go through the process and to get copies of all the bank records and the tax returns and to do an analysis and figure out what is the house worth. And if there's a business, that might take several months to get a business valuation person in there and value the business. And the other side's going to value the business. And maybe you're going to take depositions because maybe you need to know what somebody's going to say about something. And maybe the person who's not worked in 10 years needs to have a vocational assessment so that everybody knows how to get them back on track, because part of the divorce process is taking the low wage earner or the non-wage earner and finding a way for them to be self-supporting so that the wage earner can then say, okay, I understand I have to pay for this person to go to community college and to get a certificate in, you know, like aeronautic or drafting or something.
Right.
And so that they can be self-supporting. And all of that information has to be gathered and put together before you even get to mediation in a case like that.
Well, you're reminding me of why it's so important to find a lawyer who goes to trial when you're going to mediation. Because, I mean, I think often I tell my clients, especially in a complicated case, you know, where there are big financial issues or even parenting issues, we have to be prepared to go to mediation as if we're going to trial.
Exactly, because the other side has to know. I mean, the best results you get in mediation is when you have a lawyer on the other side who knows, well, you know what? If we don't settle this, that lawyer in the other room is going to take this case to trial, and she has a good track record, and I'm taking this very seriously, and we're not just going to try to finesse some crazy deal that's not going to fly in mediation.
And this is where when it's what you're talking about earlier when you say, when the mediator says, well, if I took this to the judge, such and such would happen, and you will say, actually, I took this to the judge last week, and I won.
Right. And if they know that, if the other side knows that your lawyer has a good track record in trial and the other side knows that, you know, you've been doing this for a while, then they take you a little bit more seriously. And when you say, you know, I'm just thinking about different mediations I've had recently where there have been complicated business issues, and I can say, you know, here's what I think the judge is going to do as far as whether this is separate or community property. And if I hadn't, if I were not a trial lawyer, and if I were not very experienced, and the other side's going to say, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or she can't convince a judge to see things her way.
Right.
It's just a different, it changes the dynamic of the mediation.
It does.
But still, at the same time, so we still have all of that advocacy happening. We have all of that information having been gathered. We have done all of our homework. We've done a lot of complicated business valuations and vocational evaluations. But still, we come to the mediation process setting an intention.
Right.
And knowing kind of where we think it's going to, you know, there's like, you have a range that you know where the money's going to kind of should end up. You have a range, you know, where the spousal support's going to end up. And you have a range knowing kind of where the parenting plan's going to end up.
Yes.
And then you go in with a full intention of letting the parties be the ones within that range to decide how they want to have it happen.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think having a lawyer at your mediation, if you have a more complicated situation, is really critical.
It's also, and also because the lawyer, it's an extra set of hands. I mean, it's sort of, you have one more person who can brainstorm with you about how to be creative about ideas.
And sometimes we bring in complicated cases. Sometimes we bring a CPA.
Mm-hmm,
sometimes we bring the business valuation person. Oftentimes we bring our paralegal, because you should see it in the middle of a complicated mediation. You're in the mediator's office and there's like these big long conference tables and it is covered in paper and calculators and spreadsheets and
coffee.
That's donuts, cupcakes when Monica's there. But seriously, it's complicated and it's a really intense process and it's really, really tiring. I mean, sometimes these mediations start in the morning and they go till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night if you're really on a roll.
Right.
So you have to have a mediator who knows what they're doing.
Right.
You have to have a lawyer who knows what they're doing.
You have to have protein bars.
You have to have protein bars. And so often people are like, oh, no, I'm not going to eat. And I'm like, oh, no,
oh yes,
yes,
you are. People get decision-making fatigue. You have to kind of keep
your
stamina
going. And people sometimes wait till you're really worn down and then say, this is our final offer. And they're like, just take it. And you're like, no.
Yes, this is not the time.
We can tweak this a little bit.
Right.
And we can. So sometimes you just need that advocate there to help you get
absolutely.
You, stamina.
You know, I mean, the thing is that the beauty of mediation, I know I'm romanticizing mediation so much, but the beauty of mediation is that it can open doors that would not be available to you if you were in court because the court doesn't have jurisdiction to do all these different things that you might otherwise come up with. And so having an advocate and having a mediator and another lawyer is really, really helpful.
I think maybe what we should do is have a show about what happens in a trial.
It's a great idea.
Because sometimes people think, oh, I'll just go to trial. And it's like, no, it's not that easy. It's first of all, it's ridiculously expensive, but it's also really intense. And I think it's a good thing to know what you're trying to avoid to encourage you to try to find a way to settle your case outside the court system.
Next time. Well, thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. Our law firm is the Dubois Carey Law Group, and you can check us out online at DuboisLaw.net or also on our Facebook page.
Which is what? Dubois Carey Law Group.
Right? That's right.
Cool.
You got it.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep